This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go with some headlines. Well, big game tonight. It's going to be Arizona State hosting the Huskies as the Huskies try to get another road sweep. They got the victory over Arizona by 7 points on Thursday. A little bit healthier now. Noah Dickerson, of course, fighting that ankle injury. I would imagine after a couple of days where three players and the coach bothered by just being a little sick, you know, they're a little bit better right now. So that, I think, will be the encouraging thing to try to get through, a game that is going to be, vital to if this team's going to make it into the top 25. They got a 4-game lead, believe it or not, in the Pac-12 with what has entered the second half of the season. Great season by the Huskies. Brooks Reed, defensive end who was cut by the Atlanta Falcons, just signed with the Arizona Cardinals to be a linebacker. They signed Robert Alford, a cornerback who had been cut by the Falcons, to be the second cornerback. So very busy right now. Steve Keim, the general manager of the Cardinals, he tries to get some more talent on that roster. One deal done yesterday. John Denny, long snapper for the Miami Dolphins, he re-signed, and I think he's like 40 years old. So still some movement in the National Football League, and those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Joining us right now is Dave Grosby. And, Dave, I hope you're not like us where we don't have any power here in the house.
Oh, you're kidding.
Nope. I'm trapped here, got about a foot of snow clogging the driveway. The roads haven't been cleaned out, and we have no power.
Well, downtown snowed in, I'm sure, but we got plenty of power. So, we're in a better situation than you are, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. They're saying that for the first notification, there was supposed to be no power till 11 p.m. tonight. Now they say there's a hope that maybe they can get something by 11. But all I know is that this house is chilling as we go along. And, fortunately, I have a great caregiver in Lou that's here taking care of Pat. And fortunately, with the app, I'm able to do the show. But, man, it's a mess. Not good.
Holy Toledo. I guess the snow has really gotten to you, man.
Yeah, it really has.
It looked like it was going to be a disappointment until last night it got going, and it really got going downtown here. Downtown's like a ghost town. There's very few people driving around, very few people walking around. Normally we're at the bottom of Denny Hill. We're the last place to get snow, and we got a good chunk of it. So I guess the snow apocalypse did not disappoint at the end.
No, and again, it's like now we have another one coming in Monday. Worry about getting caregivers over here to the house, and it's like it's just a mess. I mean, I don't know. I guess we get these once every 10 years. I think, 2008 or something like that, but it may have been the last time that we had one. But this one is so much worse. And again, it's like I hope my neighbor, Scott Service, went to spring training, because if that's the case, he's stuck here in the same place, and even tougher because he's right by the water trying to be able to get out of the complex.
Well, do your best to keep warm, buddy.
I'm going to try, and I've got one blanket on, and I'm probably going to have to put another one and then just hope that the power comes back. But I guess right now it's getting the power to go with the Huskies as they get ready to take on Arizona State tonight. And I would imagine that health-wise, I mean, you would think that a couple of extra days would help out Noah Dickerson, who is fighting through that ankle injury, and whatever cold, flu, whatever's going through the team right now, that it's gotten a little bit better as opposed to being worse.
Well, it certainly probably helped him to be down in Arizona, of course, and not around here. Dickerson's ankle was sprained, and he was definitely not as big a factor in the Arizona game as they thought he was, but it didn't matter. That was still a very impressive win for the team, playing that 2-3 zone to perfection. They haven't given up 70 points in a conference game yet. They improved to 10-0 and 19-4 overall. Game tonight is a primetime game, basically an 8 o'clock game against Arizona State. The latest edition of Bracketology that Joe Lenardi does for ESPN has Washington in the tournament as an 8 seed. And that's actually going to be, kind of the story, I think, moving forward, is where does Washington get to play? And, by the way, they also have Arizona State as the only other Pac-12 team making it in a play-in circumstance. So right now they just have two teams in the conference. They have Washington as an 8 seed, which seems very, very high, and opening up in Columbia, South Carolina, which is a long, long way from home. We'll see what winds up happening with that, because if Washington, you know, skates through the rest of their schedule and you know, they're not going to go undefeated. They're going to lose a game here or there. Let's say they lose two and go 16-2 in the conference this year, and so they win five of their next seven games and win the conference championship. That's going to be what, about 26-5 would be their record, 26-6. That's going to be good enough to be a 4 or 5 seed. And you know, the deal is where you play. I mean, the regionals are in Columbia, South Carolina, which is University of South Carolina. Hartford are the ones you'd want to avoid, obviously, if you're Washington. Then Columbus, Jacksonville, Tulsa. Jacksonville will be another tough one. Des Moines, but the two that they'd most rather be in, of course, would be San Jose and Salt Lake, San Jose or Salt Lake. So we'll see if that's ultimately kind of the goal there is, I think, to get into a bracket where your fans can make it. You don't get a whole lot of time, obviously, to make your travel plans for March Madness and stuff. They do the drawing, the whole field is picked on a Sunday, and you start on Thursday in most cases, maybe on Friday. So you need to throw plans together quickly. It'd be tough to do it if you're going to Columbia, South Carolina, or to Jacksonville, or to Hartford, but much easier if you get a spot in Salt Lake or San Jose. So that'll be the interesting thing for me to see. The game tonight, Arizona State off a very surprising loss. They're still 15-7. I think that was the classic sort of trap game for them to lose to Washington State the way they did. I think they were looking past them, but you know, they kind of, their style is not, it's a good one for Washington. I mean, they're not a particularly good shooting team. They were 5 for 33 shooting three pointers against Washington State. They turned the ball over 17 times against Washington State, which you know, does not have the kind of defense or plays the kind of defense that Washington does. They're also missing a key player. Going into the game, one of their top scorers is out, which is another benefit for Washington. And then, you know, we'll see if it makes a difference that it's at night and it's a home game. But Arizona State very rarely has much of a home court advantage because they don't draw particularly well. Now, this may be different with Washington coming, but they didn't draw well at all for Washington State. So even though it's a road game, it's a tough game, there are a lot of things that favor Washington in this one.
Yeah, which would be encouraging because, again, if they can do this, it's been just a remarkable season by Mike Hopkins. I mean, this guy is just sensational. And now, along with the fact that he's able to establish that 2-3 zone to be able to go out and recruit as well as he can. I mean, the fact that he proved this past 2 weeks, he can go and recruit with the best in the country.
Yep. You know, they've got a couple of top recruits coming in next year, including a big. That should be very impressive, but you know, that should just be the beginning of it. I mean, Washington has the chance of to be a nationally recruiting team, a team that recruits nationally, and that's important. Now, Bob Bender in the old days, and one of the things that Mike Hopkins is going to want to do, and this area tends to have its ups and downs in producing college basketball players, but you want to get the top guys locally as well. Seattle produces a good steady stream of basketball players. Some of them stayed in the past, some of them not stayed in the past, obviously. So, he can recruit nationally a little bit too, but he's got a good staff that will help him recruit locally. And I think the best way to recruit locally is to win the way they're winning.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the great thing that comes up and the great way that is going to be. And it's just been fun to have good basketball, and it's, you know, good to see good basketball coming. On the flip side now, of course, we're getting closer to when Seattle will have to start negotiating with some of their players. And, of course, you know, Frank Clark is going to be at the top of the list to try to get something done and then see if they can get their two guards and Justin Coleman under contract. And, you know, that's always going to be a battle.
It is. The Seahawks, as usual, don't tip their hand. You don't really know what they're thinking, except that they obviously, in the terms of those guys you're talking about, there's no question they want to keep Frank Clark. I'm sure that Sweezy is a guy that I think probably wants to stay at this point, and the benefit for the Seahawks perhaps in going after him is that he's already signed one big deal. He's gotten a big contract, so he may not be as financially obsessed, I'll put it, as most players would be in this circumstance. Fluker will be an interesting choice because, you know, they were certainly better with him, but they had some good games without him, and he's been injury-plagued the last couple of years. I mean, I don't know how much money they're willing to commit to him. And they got to decide what they're going to do with K.J. Wright as well, who was on a serious show over the weekend or last week and, you know, obviously said he'd like to return to Seattle, but doesn't know if that's possible. So it'll be interesting to see what direction they decide to go in. But Frank Clark is certainly the first guy they got to figure out, you know, and you get the sense that they've been talking with his guys a little bit, that may or may not mean anything. It may mean that they know they're miles apart, or it may mean they know, all right, we're going to be able to pull off a deal for multiple years with him and not have to put the franchise tag on him. I mean, this team has never franchise tagged a player under John Schneider. I think the last tag the Seahawks had was Lindo Mare. So, you know, we all are talking about doing that, but it's something the Seahawks have avoided doing. So I'm sure they don't want to set a new precedent and start doing it here.
I think they would love to get a deal done, and I think that Frank Clark would love to get a deal done. But now the question is it going to be 17? Is it going to be 20? I don't think they go to 20, but because if it gets too much higher than the franchise number, then I think the likelihood is, and they'll have to do the franchise. But I think that ideally, because he's such a big part of this team now. I mean, I think he's shown great leadership. Clearly, he's one of the better young pass rushers in the league. I mean, they need to get him to a long-term deal.
They definitely do. I mean, they know they do, and he's shown nothing but steady improvement since he's been here. So, you know, they've been able to get it done when they needed to get it done in the past. So I would have some confidence in them going forward.
No doubt. And are you going to be watching the Alliance of American Football tonight?
I am not, John. I'm going to watch Washington play.
Oh, okay.
I'm curious to see how they wind up doing. They've kind of thrown it together pretty quickly. They've got some names in the coaching ranks, but you know we'll see. I mean, it's football leagues normally do well. We'll see if this one has been planned out properly and they can play a representative brand of the game. It's interesting that they're getting started and then the XFL gets started next year. That all of a sudden now's the time where leagues are starting up. But there's no question there's a lot of football pie out there, and they'll get some watchers for sure. Will you watch it?
Yeah. Right now I have no power, so I'm at the mercy of Puget Sound Energy. Yeah, so
no,
I'm hoping that the first word was that it's 11 p.m. tonight that we're going to get power back. The hope is maybe they can get something by 11 a.m., but I'd be totally trapped and freezing.
Would you watch it?
Oh, of course I'm going to watch it. It's football. I would definitely watch it. Because, again, it's like I want to see the nature of it, to see how they have put it together, if it's going to be an interesting product or if it's going to be just something that's going to be bad. So I'm definitely going to try to watch it.
Yeah, I'll probably switch over to it and take a look at it. But,
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see. I mean, like most football leagues have ultimately had a degree of success, you know, when they've come up. You know, so we'll see if this one does as well. There seems to be an insatiable appetite for football, and we'll see if that's an NFL thing, that's a brand thing, or if that's a sport thing.
Exactly. So what is your schedule for today?
I'm going to enjoy the heat, I guess, John.
you get the advantage over me right now. Yeah.
But, I'm looking forward to those games tonight for sure.
Okay, well, that sounds good. David, I hope you have a good day and keep the power on.
Thanks, John. Good luck.
Okay. Dave Grosby and, of course, Bob Grosentom, weekdays 12 to 3 on 710 ESPN Seattle, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Rashid in Bothell. Hey, Rashid.
Hey, good morning, Professor. How are you?
Oh, I've been better.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm really concerned. I hope the power comes back on right away and stuff. But the soldier you are, I guess the show never ends for you and stuff, you know. So really commend your efforts, sir. Really honored to have you every week here. Professor, so we're like a week away from Super Bowl, and one thing that I had an observation after watching that game is people who are doubting that, well, we cannot pay Russell Wilson top quarterback money and stuff, they just have to watch that game. And you can tell, like, what a good quarterback in a crunch situation would look like when the chips are down and everything. And Russell Wilson is so much better, and we all know that Jared Goff is going to end up with like a very decent contract, maybe 25 plus and stuff. So anybody who's doubting that Russell Wilson does not deserve that kind of money is like we're living in like a fool's paradise.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's I mean, he is so good. As far as just, and again, you can see the great ones. They're the ones that are able to come back and, you know, get the comebacks in the fourth quarter or get the plays going in the fourth quarter. I mean, what was it, in 2017? He had, I think, what, plus 78 in the fourth quarter. And yeah. Now you can see the formula is that you run the football. he's good enough to take the offense to 26.8 points. And if they can now shave some points off the defense and take it under, you know, 20, then they have a chance to maybe start winning 11 or 12 games.
Yes, and I think, Professor, I know lately it's not been the case, but Super Bowl losers generally hadn't fared well in the past couple of, in the past and stuff. I mean, I know Patriots won after losing last year's Super Bowl, but I see a major step back for the Rams and stuff, and I think this is the right time. And one thing that I was really encouraged about, I was just like kind of looking the season in retrospect, was it's kind of a resurgence for John Schneider as well. I think he probably looked at a couple of his last drafts and he hadn't done that well and stuff, and I think like he's, like, I think both him and Pete Carroll kind of took a closer look what they were going and stuff. And I think they're going to, like, I know they don't have a lot of picks, but I think they're set to build this team for the next 6-7 years. And I'm really confident that I think Seattle might have a big year.
Yeah, I think so, too, because, I mean, you know that they'll find a way to trade back in the first round and maybe take it in the second round, trying to get some more draft choices and somehow get it to 8.
Yeah,
I think that'll be, you know, one of the strategies that they'll try.
Yeah, Professor, the Kansas City. This, do you like this move of Steve Spagnuolo? Because they all have like 3-4 personnel. Some of them are slow, some of them are fast and stuff. And then they're going to go to I don't know if he's going to keep 3-4 or 4, but he's a predominantly 4-3 guy. So, do you like this move?
I do, yeah, because I like Steve as a coach, and I think that he'll get, you know, the big thing is he likes 3 pass rushers, and they've got 3 pass rushers. Now, I think that you can put maybe Justin Houston at defensive end. I think they'll keep Dee Ford as a strong outside linebacker, and then you know they got a real good one in the middle in Chris Jones. And so it's a matter that I think that, you know, in the 3-4, I mean, their linebacking core just didn't do well. I mean, Ford did well. Reggie Ragland, I think, is more of a 4-3 linebacker than he is a 3-4, so I think that might make it better. Linebacker, and then, you know, the question is that you know, they need to secure one more linebacker. But no, I think it's a good move. But their big thing is their secondary was so bad. I mean, the coverage they had at cornerback was just awful.
Yeah, and Professor, so there's been a lot of rumblings about Earl Thomas going to the 49ers. Do you really think that they're going to go older at like on defense and stuff? I mean, getting to Sherman, then Earl Thomas and stuff. I mean. Because this, Seattle is getting younger, and like if the teams in the division are going to get older, that's all good news for Seattle, I think.
Yeah, but I think also with the thing that it helps is getting leadership. And if you get older guys that can provide, you know, look what Sherman has done for some of the young defensive backs on that team. I think he's helped them out immensely. And so, you know, Earl can go in there and make plays. And I mean, if they would get, think about where they would be with Jimmy Garoppolo, Jerick McKinnon at running back. If you pick up Antonio Brown and then you have Earl Thomas. Now all of a sudden, I mean, you have the makings of a pretty good team, because now you're getting guys that are accomplished, that can make plays, and can, you know, secure positions.
Well, let's see what happens. But Professor, thanks for taking my call, and please stay warm, and hope it goes well for you, sir.
Okay, Rasheed, thank you very much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 7. Oh, let's tell you what. Let's go to James in Burien. Hey, James.
Oh, yes. Hi, John Clayton.
Yes.
Yes. First of all, I just want to say thank you so much for everything you've done for the sport of football, everything. And I listen to Danny David Moore. Just listen to your segment, 4 o'clock p.m. Every day.
Oh, well, thank you. Appreciate that.
The other caller actually kind of stole my whole thinking there about Earl Thomas there. But the thing is, Earl Thomas he has served Seattle for the past five seasons or so. Best free safety in the league, bar none. But why is the reason why the Seattle don't want to re-sign him? Well, at least another two good seasons.
Well, because I think you see the relationship is strained. He's going to be wanting more than $13 million a year.
I think that's valid.
That's going to be tough.
Would you say that's kind of valid for what he has done for the city of Seattle, how he's performed over the years?
Oh, yeah. But also, there's a salary cap, and you can't keep everybody. And if you're going to be paying over $30 million for Russell Wilson and 17 or 18 for Frank Clark and whatever you have to pay the guards, I mean, and then you have got other guys that are going to start coming up, I mean, unfortunately, you have to make some sacrifices. And if that's going to be the case, I mean, that's why it's going to be tough to get KJ right back, because I think that he could get, you know, a pretty good contract. And so you can't keep everybody.
What do you think he's going to demand in the free market there?
10 or 11, I think. 10 or 11 million a year.
Well, that's pretty reasonable, I'll say.
Yeah, but again, it's like if you're paying $12-13 million to a middle linebacker, $10 million, $11 million for an outside linebacker. I mean, you've got 17-18 tied up in Frank Clark. I mean, you've got 11 or 12. I mean, there's only so many slots that you can have.
Absolutely. But that's beside the fact. I just want to say, you actually.
And then the other aspect is the danger of the third contract. I mean, there's a danger with that because
that's true.
I mean, you saw that they never got the full third year contract, a third time contract out of Cam Chancellor.
Didn't get it out of
Michael Bennett and also Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. But, you know, I just want to say before I get cut off here, I just want to say thank you so much. You actually make the game of football entertaining. If it's not people like you, I mean, where football would be right now?
Hey, James, thank you so much for the kind words.
This is the least I could do. I mean, I listen to 4 o'clock religiously.
Fantastic. Hey, James, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, The John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Brandon. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Professor, how's it going?
Oh, hanging under the circumstances, hanging in there.
Right. I live up in Granite Falls in the mountains. We lose power anytime the wind blows, so I'm right there with you right now.
Yeah, so just kind of just walked in the office, and now it's down to like 66 degrees, so it's chilling pretty well. At some point, I might have to move upstairs and go by the fireplace.
Right. Hey, I use these little survival blankets. They're pretty cheap, not very fashionable, but they work pretty well in these circumstances.
Now, what's a survivor blanket?
It's a reflective blanket. It reflects either sunlight or your own body heat. It basically retains 90% of your body heat. So you just throw it over top of you, and you're good to go, man. Especially walking around the house. They're designed like if you get stranded in the woods. But if you're just walking around the house, they're really cheap. They're like $2 or $3, and they really do keep you extremely warm. I sweat in mine.
No, I'll have to look into that. Now I just have to find a way to. I mean, my neighbor Jerry, which was nice enough to shovel out the driveway and the walkway, but then right now there's so much with there's a foot of snow in the street, and we've had no plow come through here yet. And so, which is kind of unusual because it's like I got the mayor of Renton next door. I've got Scott Service here. Jerry's here. It's like, nothing taking the streets down. So right now I couldn't get the car anywhere.
You would think somebody could make a phone call.
Well, I mean, he would be the mayor.
So what I wanted to talk about was you made some really good points about the XFL with Vince McMahon. And I was tuning in and out, and I really wanted to hear your true thoughts on why you believe that. I believe that you said the XFL is going to be better than the AFL, or
no, he did.
Along
I mean,
those
he,
lines.
Well, I mean, the one thing that I think is interesting is that, and again, we'll see what they can do for attendance and stuff, but, you know, as Oliver said, that they're in bigger cities. You know, they're going to be in Seattle. They're going to be in all these, you know, eight high big cities. And they say they got the TV contract and all that stuff. Again, how they do for players, I mean, we'll see first off tonight, if I can turn on the TV set, you know, what they do as far as the Alliance of American Football to see where that's going to be. But overall, we'll see. Again, I just think there's a need for development because, again, too many players aren't getting a chance to play. And so you go back into the World League and all the times that were there when, you know, you could John Kitna goes over there, Kurt Warner goes over there. They go over on the overseas, and next thing you know, they come back and they're playing. And so it's like you hope that they can get – some, because again, there's not enough time for quarterbacks to get developed. And so this is a chance to get quarterbacks developed, offensive linemen developed, and then maybe some receivers developed. So we'll see how it goes. But, you know, at least Oliver made me feel better, because I thought there would be no chance, by 2:20 to see the XFL. But now I think, you know, he showed me there's a better plan because, I mean, this plan isn't trying to be, they want to try to develop football and they want football. So we'll see.
I think that they're being smarter about the way that they're going about everything. And I don't know, in my personal opinion, I'm going to do my best to get off work early and watch the is it the AAL or the AFL? I'm sorry.
Yeah, AAFL. Alliance of American Football.
We gotta get,
and actually, they like to call it the AAF. AAF.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, I'm going to try to watch it, but I'm honestly more excited for the XFL. I was a big arena football fan whenever it first launched before it kind of went sideways. And I'm really excited about it. But I thank you for your time. You do an amazing show. I've only been listening for about a month, but I plan to listen to you as long as I can. And appreciate your sacrifice.
Oh, I appreciate
no
that.
Power.
Okay, thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jet. Hey, Jet.
Dr. John. Good morning.
Yeah, I put a little parentheses around the good.
Yeah, well.
Not so good.
Grab the cocoa and just nestle in, I guess.
Yeah, but the problem is I can't heat the cocoa.
Well, they call that chocolate milk then, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's like a...
Well, let's do what we can here. Hey, what do you think
yeah,
about,
I know.
Now the Jets have rounded out their coaching staff, what do you think about... this hee-haw family affair type of deal that's brewing, how combustible is it, and do you think he'll survive the season?
Well, I mean, I think we now see one of the stories that came out yesterday, see if you agree with this, that you know, if you were going to take that job, you were going to have Greg Williams as that. This was an ownership decision. And so Adam took it, even though you know there's going to be some inherent problems. You know, a story came out yesterday that you know, Adam Gase really didn't want Greg Williams as his defensive coordinator, and you can understand it because he was going to bring his father-in-law, Joe Vitt. You know, and Joe Vitt and Greg were together in the New Orleans staff, and, you know, you had what was going on with the crazy bounty gate. And in the end, you know, Joe Vitt testified against Greg Williams. And so you can see there's going to be a little bit of a strain there, you would come to think.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think that's question number one. But you got to get some sense that they must have, Williams and Vitt must have made up to some extent. Otherwise, I don't think.
To some extent, yeah, yeah.
It would have flown whatsoever. But, you take that whole snitching thing aside, I mean, it does seem that Vitt and Williams did work together pretty well previously.
Oh, they did, yeah. I think that they did a good job with the Saints defense. I mean, Joe was working with the linebackers, and, you know, you got Greg. He's always good with the secondary and the pass rush. So they did good work together, and they were very aggressive in how they wanted to have that defense. Of course, one thing was is that, you know, I think that, you know, Joe probably had no choice. He had to testify because if not, then he would have been suspended.
Yeah, yeah. So I suspect that that's, hopefully it's going to be water under the bridge and they can just renew their working relationship. The other thing that I thought was kind of odd, and I was going to try to get your impressions on this, is bringing in Jim Bob Cooter as some sort of coach. I guess you'd call him the running back coach.
Running back coaches, yeah. They have him as a running back coach.
Which I thought was a little bit odd since his, you know, prior gigs were with either an offensive coordinator or then a quarterback coach before that. But it seems to me, is he going to be like a sounding board and help Gaze design plays and whatnot? And Gaze may kind of focus a little bit on developing Darnold. I mean, I'm wondering how this is all going to work itself out.
No, I think it's going to be Adams' deal the whole way. I think he's going to be the one. And that's the interesting part is that, you know, here he hires Jim Bob Cooter as a running back coach, and Cooter lost his job because he didn't run the ball enough.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Go figure that one out.
Yeah, I mean, he did a nice job working with Matt Stafford and putting together a nice offensive plan. And they were what? They were top five, top ten. Mm-hmm. He was running the offense there. And but it certainly wasn't built around a running game because they had none. So I just find it incredibly odd that they're calling him, quote-unquote, a running backs coach when that doesn't seem to be his style.
Right.
So I'm wondering what his role is going to be, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just kind of wonder. It's like that. I think shows the first concern that how is the staff and is it going to be able to work together and is it going to be successful? And that's I think there's some questions there. I mean, again, I think it was great getting Greg Williams because I think he's an excellent defensive coach and I think he'll do a good job. You know, taking them and let's hope they take them into a 4-3.
Yeah, I think that's inevitable. I don't think Williams is going to sit still for a 3-4. That just isn't his MO. And they have some of the talent already there, as we've been discussing for years. It's just been chronically misused in a 3-4. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the overhaul is going to be that pervasive. But I think it will have an effect on what they do in the draft. Do you think there's going to be a market for their number 3 pick, especially for quarterback hungry teams? And I realize we haven't gone through the combine yet, but do you think that may be a little far up for a team to stretch?
Well, I think it depends on what Jacksonville does. I mean, Jacksonville is the key there because, if Jacksonville, if they get Nick Foles, do they want Nick Foles for the short term? Because if they want Nick Foles for the short term, then they'll try to trade up above the Giants to get the Ohio State quarterback. But what I look at is that if they're content with Foles, get him for like a third round pick, if they have to work a trade out, then they may just take, an offensive tackle at number 7, and then they don't have to worry. And there's no trade. I can't see Denver trading up from 10 to jump because it's going to be too big of a price. So I think it all depends on Jacksonville because Jacksonville would be the only team that would be able to trade up to 3, and they probably would have to do it so that the Giants don't get the Ohio State quarterback.
Right, and I don't really see anybody going up to 1 or 2 because that seems to be just way too big a price for these court level of quarterbacks.
Right, exactly. Because, I look at this. This is like the 2011 draft. I mean, quarterbacks are going to go in the first round, and you saw that it wasn't a great success. Now, it worked with Andy Dalton, and I think what Cam Newton was in that draft, but didn't work for Jake Locker, didn't work for Sam Ponder, or Christian Ponder. It worked well for Sam Ponder. Yeah. She's doing great on the year, but Christian Ponder. Yeah. And so, there's more failures than successes.
Yeah, but do you think they'll have to go all the way up to 3? I mean, again, that price is going to be a lot steeper. They just got to get in front of the Giants.
Right, exactly. But then also what they have to worry is the Giants could have to jump up ahead of them.
Well, that's the point is I don't think I think it's going to be a colder day than Seattle is experiencing than the Giants and Jets working out a deal for that number 3 spot. So if somebody does, and I don't see the Giants going up to 1 or 2. So
no, I don't.
So if they do move up, the Jets maybe come and play, but I just can't see the Giants going to 1 or 2 for one of these quarterbacks when they're sitting there at 6.
No. And I don't think Jacksonville wants to throw away all their draft choices for 2 quarterbacks. And so that's why I think if they can get Foles for a 3, then I think they can be satisfied. And then I think that kills any chance of any trade up into the top 5. Because again, that 4 of the top 5, the top 5 picks are all going to be on defense.
Yeah. I mean, that's where the talent is this year, and that's what kind of which is, like you were saying about, this is an odd year because, you're basically your top 5 teams don't need quarterbacks, which is very odd.
That never happens.
No.
But it happened this year.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what the combine brings. All right, John. Well, stay warm and, wear your mucklucks and, pull out the sled dogs and then good luck. Happy
hey, thanks. Going to need it. Jet, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to John in Tukwila. How are we doing?
I'm all right. How about yourself?
Oh, be better if I had some power.
All the deals the Mariners have made, I realize you probably can't talk about all of them, but I totally missed that. They got some major leaguers, but I know they traded Paxton, and they traded Segura. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. They traded Segura, Robinson Cano, Mike Zunino.
Yeah, I heard about that. Tampa Bay, I think.
They did not re-sign Nelson Cruz. They let him go.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, now, yeah, it's a different team.
They got some major league talent for him. But, you know, not for Nelson Cruz, but...
No. I mean, it's going to be 68 to 74 wins for the team.
Yeah, I know. I think
the upside would be 74. And then, but I went through and looked at all the teams that tanked last year, and they were all, like, obviously Baltimore was terrible, but everybody else was like 62 to 68 wins for the most part.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So,
mm-hmm.
I know. Last year was actually a pretty good season. And I'm really surprised they took this route. It must be that managing group trying to cut salary again.
It's a matter that they thought that they knew that Houston was going to be good for several years with that, and you know, just trying to all they thought. And again, I have a different opinion, but then my opinion is not worth here for them. But they thought that they weren't going to be able to catch Houston and some of the teams at the top, Yankees and Boston. So the better way to do it was go back down and try to get talent and try to pop up in 2021 as a team that can be reckoned with. But we'll see. Hey, thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
What's that?
Hey, John, how are you?
Good, Mike. How are you?
I haven't talked to you in a while. It's been about a year, John.
I know. Where you been?
I've been traveling back and forth from Seattle to the Fort Worth area, and I've just been busy.
Well, good for you. Welcome back.
Thank you, John. I got snowed in.
Me too.
I'm not too far from you, John. I'm in the Renton-Fairwood area. I got power over here.
Oh, okay.
It's starting to snow lightly, too, over here. I got about 8 inches. Hey, John, right quick, I want to ask you something about the Steelers. I'm very upset with Tomlin, how he's handling this team. I just hope he wakes up and try and get this team on the right track next year. What do you think?
Well, he has to. My guess is now we've got 2 years left in his contract. If he can't, clean that locker room up and, get that going, I question whether he's going to get a contract extension. He's not going to be fired. They're going to stand by him.
Yeah.
But he's got to try to make sure that, he fixes things up and, gets that locker room better, because it's a bad locker room now. You can see with Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell kind of being away, Ben, kind of battling with some guys. That's got to stop. He's got to be more disciplined. I mean, you can't have Antonio Brown missing meetings and getting away with it.
Well, I'm set up with Brown and Bell. I prefer they walk. We don't need them. There's plenty of good young players in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'm just it's scary next year. You know, as long as Brady and Belichick are together and they run the table in that weak division they got, I see them going back to the Super Bowl.
I do, too. I think you can almost count on that, or at least they're going to be in a position. I think they could have home field advantage, and you saw they couldn't, even when they're on the road, they were able to pull the victory out. Now, if you're going to be at home, they're going to win.
Yeah, and the scary part about it, I think they got 12 picks in the draft, John.
Yeah, I know.
Huh.
It's remarkable.
They're going to reload. That means they're going to be a good football team next year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
I was kind of surprised they've lost 4 or 5 coaches so far. That kind of was unusual.
Yeah, one of the coaches went to Miami. I'm interested to see how that's
right,
going to work.
Right, Byron Flores.
Yeah, I'm wondering how that's going
to
work.
Yeah, I think he took 2 coaches with him, too.
Yeah. But I could see New England back in the Super Bowl again. The way it all pans out. Hey, John, it's been good talking to you. Take care and be safe.
Okay, don't be a stranger, Mike. Thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Greg Bell of the News Tribune next. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.